So I just left you to it.
All right, let's start this show. I'm tired of waiting for him. All right, here we go. Wait, now I forgot what episode this is, damn it.
A lot. Some big number.
Yeah, it's 968.
That's a lot.
Yeah, here we go.
Who's the best show here?
Back Show!
Who's the best show here?
Back Show! All
right, that's pretty good. That's the best one yet.
I am short.
Pizza, pizza.
Showtime!
It's about fucking time someone else is.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
It's a little thing tech show, and that's back. If you don't like the cats, you can get up your ass. Ain't no funny duddies that are looking bad. But the stone is going back to DLFGS.org. And IC challenge the LinuxTech.net. Bound tech show. Just sit right there, go to Catholic, just about to begin.
Welcome to episode 968 of the Links Link Tech Show. On the show tonight, we have Pat.
Still summer.
Yeah, we have Joe.
Yep. Hot and humid right now.
And we may have Gorkon at some point because we're going on 14, 15 years of this show. He still doesn't know how to get his audio working correctly.
Right. How to use a headset in conjunction with an actual mic.
Oh my goodness. Speaking of that, Joe, Pat, guess, get this. I finally joined the 21st century and I got myself a pair of Bluetooth headphones. And
which ones?
I just bought a really cheap ass pair.
Those can be okay.
They kind of match the behind the headphones that I was using that were plugged in. The exact brand. I didn't want to go, you know, I didn't know if I was going to like them. I didn't know how well it was going to work with my devices. So I didn't want to go spending a ton of money. But it was a Soundbot SB221 HD wireless.
I'll send me a link on it.
Yeah, I'll send you a link of where I got them on Vince. They were $19. They were pretty much the same thing that I bought. Like I said, they reminded me they're not the exact model like that I had bought. But I'll tell you what. The sound on these things is a world of difference than my older ones. It's a lot warmer,
You're not using 20-year-old headphones.
Yeah, a lot crisper. So I was very pleased with the sound. Now, what I didn't initially work well for me was trying to figure out how to pair these damn things. It was a little odd. Right. So you're back now.
Does that
basically
sound better?
Hold the power button until it starts blinking red and blue, and then go to your phone.
Yeah, I never did that before. So when I was trying to read the instructions, they weren't really clear. They're like, hold it in for 7 seconds, hold it in for 4 seconds to shut it off, and then hold it in for 7 seconds to turn it back on in the pairing mode, these headphones I got.
Oh,
So obviously the first thing I was going to do was pair it with my my Sulker, my Hi-Humi Sulker, or whatever the hell the name of the device is. And it had a pairing on there. So once I figured out that you did, yeah, you had to turn it on, you know, hold it in until it started flashing red and blue. But you had to make sure that if it was on, you had to turn it off first. Then you had to turn it. Then you had to hold it in for 7 seconds. If you hold it in for 4 seconds, it turns it on, and you keep it held in for another 3, and then it does the pairing. And once I figured that out, it showed up on my device, and I turned it on, and it was working pretty good. I will say that it picked it up. I was listening. I was happy. I started going about doing something. I was listening to a podcast, and about like 10 minutes later, it started cutting out on me.
Low battery?
No.
Some of your cheaper devices, when they start getting to a certain battery percentage, instead of, you know, actually giving you a warning, they just start acting stupid.
Well, see, the first thing I did with this is I plugged it, I charged it.
Okay.
And I followed directions, and it would like cut out. I went to go mow the lawn is what I was gonna do, and it was cutting in and out of me. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna pair this with my phone, right? And like I said, it worked great for 10 minutes. So I paired it with my phone, the same thing, and it was working fine. So I was listening to music with my phone. And I guess ultimately what it comes down to is, like, how do I describe it? With my MP3 player, it depends on where the device is and what direction it seems to be facing that I get the best pairing. And if I don't, like, move it around too much, like if I'm lifting weights and I have it on my right side, it's facing like a certain direction, like the pointing up in a certain way, it's fine. But if it's like on my left side, or if it's turned around,
yeah,
or if I move, like if I go for a run, yeah, it really flakes out. It's
with
like
my
neck
band,
like,
headphones. You get the same problem, but like so if I move my chin over my left shoulder and bring it down and cover the arm on the LG, it'll cut out. But that's usually solved by just moving it around my neck, but you can't do the exact same thing because yours is a behind the head.
Right, and again, you know, the other weird thing is when I use my phone, sometimes it'll do that on the phone, but it's a lot more stable with the phone. And again, if I have the phone in a certain, like I have it in a certain direction.
Wear shirts with breast pockets.
Yeah, and so, I mean, I'm working it out. I'm still not, like, if I'm lifting weights or whatever, it works great. If I'm going for a run, I'll just switch to my phone. I almost, like, seriously, like, I was like,
How often do you lift weights?
Huh?
How often do you lift weights?
4 days a week.
Are you on a push-pull split or bro split?
No, I just been doing what I do. I do, what is a push-pull split?
Push-pull leg. So one day you do all push movements, one day you do all pull movements, and then one day you do legs. And on a four-day split, that would mean on the fourth day you're doing cardio.
What I typically do is I break up by muscle groups. So it's either like I chest, back and shoulders, arms, and legs. So Monday and Thursday, it's chest. And what I'm doing right now is just a basic routine of bench press, squats, standing military press, and leg extensions on Mondays, which is then Monday is followed up by a run. And then Tuesday, it's close grip bench press, deadlift, curl bar curls, forearm curls, and then I go for a bike ride. And then Wednesday, I usually take a run or a walk or whatever. And then Thursday, it's the same day as Monday, except I go for a bike ride. And then Friday, it's the same day as Tuesday, but I do my run. And that's what I'm doing right now. And then I'm going to probably change that up when fall hits.
Well, just look up a push-pull leg split. They're actually pretty decent. But I do more of a bro split anyway, so because I don't want to come up with an actual plan, and I'll usually work out whatever feels good that day. Except for Saturdays, which is heavy bench day, and Tuesdays, which is barbell bench day.
Okay. What I usually do is I'll switch it up and go for either endurance or strength or the in between, because I find I get if I want to bulk up, I find I get like the in between, which is like medium weights, kind of higher reps on the sets. And then with strength, it's kind of high weight, low reps on the sets. And then endurance is like low weight, high reps.
I alternate week to week. So 1 week I'll do all like heavier weights, lower reps. And then the following week I will do a much more moderate weight for much higher reps. So like 1 week I will be pushing 270, 280 on the bench. The next week, I'm not going to go over 220.
Damn, you're doing 270, huh?
My one rep max last time I did it, and it may have come down, was 295.
Oh, so what do you do regularly?
Wow.
Actually, it was 295 for three, so that puts my one rep max at like 305, 308, somewhere in there.
I'm jealous, man, because I'm at 200 right now, and that's
yeah, 220 is kind of, or I don't want to go below that.
Okay, so how many reps are you doing at 220?
10 to 15, depending on how I'm feeling.
Man, that's awesome.
The bench is my zen place, so I'm gonna surprise people on the bench if we go hit the bench together.
That is great.
Joe's a beast.
And the thing is I don't really have the chest to show for it.
Is it all steroids? Is that it?
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. I've been juicing for 20 years now.
Steroids, me.
Is it free weights, or do you have a...
It's free weights.
Free weights. See, that's the thing that scares me when you start getting up in the higher weights, getting towards your max.
I had to get a squat rack bench.
Okay.
Or a squat, but it's a half rack. Okay. It's got the safety catches there.
Yeah.
And so when I started doing higher weights, and when I started coming down in weight, and those higher weights started getting harder and more dangerous for me, because, you know, you're not just losing just fat when you go from 265 to 205 pounds. Muscle's going with it. So,
yep.
I got this rack that has the safety catches at the bottom so I don't die when I'm pushing 295 without a spot.
That makes sense.
Yeah. You see, that's
I like not dying.
That's my biggest thing. I need to get back into a schedule of going to the gym like I was pre-pandemic. I was pretty reliable of going to the gym up until March 2020, you know. But now I get to the end of the day and I'm exhausted for other reasons.
Have a shitty diet?
That's part of it. It's like I don't mind trying the other stuff, but the family won't eat it. So that's
my family doesn't eat my diet either. I cook for myself. Granted, I cooked for the kids today too.
Ooh.
I made them a stir fry and I made myself burritos.
Yeah. We'll get back into it hopefully soon. Lately, work has just been so for example, tonight we got a little powwow. Well, just because it's the first time we've ever done the automation in production. So I think once we get through this, this will be painful. But once we get through it, upgrades will go just like that. I mean,
Dan, I want to buy you an articulated arm for your microphone. Right? Something that is farther away from your keyboard.
Do you hear it That's now? All.
Yeah. When you're typing.
No, not right now. Not right this second.
Yeah, it's because he's not typing.
But when you were typing a little bit ago, it was loud.
Pound, 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 pound. But,
yeah. But, I can hear it.
That wasn't me, because I wasn't doing anything.
Could have been Joel, then. Nope, I wasn't typing.
Pat, you screwing around? Because I haven't moved off this bike.
Now, this is me typing now.
I'm muted.
It's much lighter.
Can you hear that when I'm typing?
It's much lighter.
Yes, but it's lighter than it was.
It's nowhere near as bad.
That's why I usually like headsets.
Oh, no, he just needs to move his mic away from his keyboard.
That too. Yeah, I figured out my audio earlier, pulse audio was vomit. For whatever reason. So I switched completely over to ALSA. Hey, it worked great.
I kind of figured that the problem was between the keyboard and the chair.
Might have been that too, but... but no, I usually use Pulse Audio, but... Because I actually went into the room and I was hearing it too, the echo, really bad. I still hear myself coming back from Damn, but then his microphone's always unmuted. See?
Alright.
Anywho. So yeah, right, more deployments tonight. Yay!
wait, let me finish with this headphone thing.
Finish it, man.
Yeah, so it's working pretty good. I just gotta be careful with what I do on when I'm working out or exercising anyway. Anyway, I decided to try and pair it with my laptop here, because the laptop
Linux
has
laptop.
A Bluetooth. Yeah, and
I bet that didn't work well.
It worked super easy.
For how long?
I'm using it now.
Damn, and it sounds good too.
Yeah. So the thing. Well, it doesn't. How you can
You're
tell it sounds
mic.
Good? There is no mic on it.
Okay, so you're using the desktop mic, but you're using the Bluetooth audio. Okay, that makes sense.
Right, yeah. So I don't think it has a mic on it. It doesn't say it has a mic.
It probably does.
It doesn't say on here that it has a mic. It just said it has voice command support, which I don't know.
Which means it has a mic.
Well, if it does, I don't see it listed. Let me.
Does it have a play button and a power button?
No.
So they're the same button. Long press the play button. And that should... Well, if you were connected to your phone, long pressing the play button should bring up whatever your phone's voice assistant is.
Why does this not... Okay, let me see here. I don't see it listing a microphone on here.
That's probably because you need to go to... And this will screw things up, so I don't recommend it. Oh, it does?
Yeah, there is a built-in microphone. Hold on, I just saw. You know, actually, let me look at the device. It's not coming up in the input devices
right.
as having
you need,
a microphone.
You need to go to your Bluetooth controller on your PC and go to, I think it's devices. Yeah, and then you need to do the setup on the headset and tell it it's an A2DP headset, not just a Bluetooth audio.
I'll have to look into that. Wait, audio and input profiles. I wonder what that does. Hello?
Well, we still hear you. It hasn't changed any. And usually if you switch to a Bluetooth microphone on a PC, it sounds like shit.
No, I was just still using. I was still using my Anyway, all I was gonna say is I had never paired with Linux before, and I just tried. I'm using Ice Window Manager, and it doesn't have like KDE and GNOME have that functionality easily built in. I tried using Blue Control, and I was able to pair it with it using Blue Control, and I was able to, but I didn't show up in my devices to be able to use as an audio device. But I tried Blue Man, it's called Blue Man, and that running Blue Man manager brings up like an interface, and it showed it in there, and I clicked on it to enable it, and that it was that easy, and then it was available as an audio device. Here we are.
Yeah. Well, my adventures in Bluetooth recently, I think I talked about it last week with the 1GX1 Pro, a little 7-inch laptop that I have. It's still running great, and I'm still using almost every day. But I have my Amex Ergo mouse set up as its Bluetooth device, so I can switch between the 2.4 gigahertz and the Bluetooth, and if I switch to Bluetooth, will connect to that laptop, and that has worked flawlessly every time I've done it. So, but like my RK100 keyboard, if I disconnect that and then try to reconnect it, it's going to brick every time, and I'm going to have to repair.
Brick the device or brick your
connection? The connection won't work.
Okay.
It will not reconnect.
Until you reboot the machine?
Until I unpair and then pair again.
Ah, okay.
And then it'll work fine until it disconnects.
Well, I have to say, I've never been satisfied with Bluetooth. I always pissed
Bluetooth
off.
Bluetooth has always sucked, especially in Linux.
Now, I will say, the one place where I have absolutely never had a problem with Bluetooth was the Bluetooth controller to the PlayStation. Never had a problem with it.
Yeah?
I'm surprised. Now, I would say the same thing about the Switch, but the Switch gets like really funky when you're trying to pair more than like two controllers to it, or I don't know. Like, you try and pair up four different controllers so you can play four-player Smash Brothers, and it gets, sometimes it's a pain in the ass. Right, Joel? Did they get it?
Yep. Nope.
Anyway.
I just had to hit my Stream Deck to unmute myself.
I don't know, Joe. I don't know much about Bluetooth under Linux because I haven't used it personally myself, other than this afternoon, this evening.
I don't know if Bluetooth devices are getting better or if Bluetooth software is getting better. It's a function of Linux Mint 21, but the headset that I paired to the device worked really well, other than the mic sounding like crap. And the mouse that I've connected to it over Bluetooth has worked really well. And I can instantly switch back and forth between my main PC and my little mini PC here.
Mini PCs. Love it.
Well, it's a 7-inch laptop, so.
Yep.
But I did install Steam on it, and I can't get anything Proton-based to actually work on it at this time. But I was able to get some Linux native games to play on there, like Torchlight 2. And, well, the Sega Genesis emulator came up over Proton, but none of the games would actually load. Then I tried to install RetroArch, and that kept crashing on me.
So is it a bus for a retro gaming machine, or are you just, you think you need to switch to a different OS, or a different version of Linux? Or?
I could switch to RetroArch, you know. There are a couple of OSs that are completely dedicated to RetroArch and see how well that works. But I'm, you know, using it for other things as well. And if I really want to play something on there, I can stream it off another machine if I have to. That's probably better for it anyway. I could always put Windows and Steam on there. That'd probably work.
There you go.
That'd be Joel's solution. To hell with Linux. Let's just throw Windows on there.
So the device is Intel.
Hey, based, now.
Right? Yeah. i5, 10th gen.
So what is locking it up?
I think it's that there is an issue with the Vulkan 32-bit drivers, is what it looks like.
Uh-huh.
The 32-bit drivers are installed. I did verify that. But for some reason, they're not loading up into Proton for... I don't know why.
That sucks.
But I wasn't expecting it to, you know, be able to game all that well anyway, considering that it's probably going to be very thermally limited, and it's integrated graphics.
Still, it should be able to do, like, retro gaming. It should be able
That's
to
what
do
I was assuming.
Main.
Yeah, that's what I was assuming was the Genesis one would work. And I did try to... And Torchlight is very Doom... Well, not Doom. Diablo-esque. Like old-school Diablo.
Right.
And so that one is not very intensive resource-wise. And that loaded up. And that seemed to work just fine on there. And then... the other one that I had tried was Borderlands, and that's where I was Borderlands 2, and that's where I was getting the problems with the Vulkan drivers, because I did not load up the Linux native version of Borderlands 2. I loaded up the Windows version because one of the DLCs only works on the Windows version.
That's weird.
Yep.
Tell them, no way! Which DLC is that?
Well, the very, very last one that came out, I can't even remember what it's called now. It's going to drive me nuts. Borderlands 2 DLC. Add-on content.
Mr. Tongue's Campaign of Carnage?
Nope. Not Tiny Tina's Wonderlands, which they did a revamp of.
Tiny Tina's.
Didn't they release that as a standalone game,
yeah,
too?
Yeah, they did.
It's not the Assault on
Commander
Dragon
Lilith,
Keep.
Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary.
Borderlands 2?
Yeah, Borderlands 2.
Why don't I see that listed?
I don't know.
That's a good question.
This is campaign 5.
Oh, wait. No. Like, I'm looking at the Borderlands 2 wiki guide and the DLC packs.
Which one you're looking at here? Let me...
There's Captain Scarlet and their Pirate Booty? Pirate's Booty?
That one's a good one, too. But after that came Mr. Torque's Campaign of Carnage, and then after that There was some smaller ones, Slaughterhouse, Collector's Edition Pack, Sir Hammerlock, Tiny Tina's Assault on Dragon Keep, the Digistruct Peak, and then Bloody Harvest. Horrible Hunger of the Ravenous Waddle Gobbler? I don't know that one. Headhunter Missions. Headhunter Missions. And Sir Hammerlock was the last Headhunter mission. Then came Commander Lilith.
Hmm. Where can I find this?
Commander Lilith added a bunch of levels and a bunch of playability.
What's the name of the DLC?
Commander Lilith and the Fight for Sanctuary.
Mm-hmm. I don't play too much games, although that do play the Atari Flashback Classics that I just got.
Well, I was trying to play me some classic Sega.
Why isn't this listed on the other wikis? That's weird.
It is the very last one that came out. They basically dropped support for the game right after this one came out.
Well, that sucks.
Here you go, assholes, and that was it, right?
Yeah, pretty much. But they were, at that point, planning on bringing out 3.
Yeah.
So they wanted to switch their support to 3.
Ah, anyway, there you go.
And something I could use with playing games is my Stream Deck that I bought over the weekend.
Oh, you got a Stream Deck?
Yes, I do.
Oh, man.
Yeah.
Have you built one of your own?
No, I'm lazy like that. Plus, well, here's probably... I use it mostly on my work machines, although I do have Stream Deck UI configured on this system, which is my Pop! OS-based system. It wasn't too terribly difficult to set up. A lot of manual setup. It's because mostly it's written in Python. You actually use a pip install command to install it after you put all the dependencies in. You have to make some rule changes on UDEV so that it recognizes it as a valid HID. But then once you set it up, the program is very similar to the Windows one, except definitely not as good looking. Because it's very, you know, it's written in Python. It's not going to look great with a Python GUI. So, and it's much more of a manual setup on Linux for sure than on Windows. On Windows, you literally can add plugins for, like, Streamlabs, OBS, various things out there, like Visual Studio Code has some plugins for it. You can write scripts that you can execute with it by just a button press. The main reason I got it was for controlling Zoom audio. Basically gives me a nice mechanical mute button that mutes the Zoom session. Versus me hitting the mute on my headset. But generally I like it a lot. I have the actual Mark II model, so I don't have the one that has a flimsy stand on it. Has a decent little stand on it. And the nice thing is you don't have to have it in the stand, so if I wanted a 3D print, like something like I could... like a clamp I can attach to the side of the laptop or something, I could do that. Not that I'm gonna, but I could. It definitely works pretty well. Linux, I think it's gonna have a little bit more power because you can write a bash shell script that calls multiple, like I can open everything I need with one button press. So the only thing it was kind of a negative is programs that install with the Flatpak, you have to do Flatpak run, and then you have to know what the Flatpak name is. It's like for Chrome, it's com.google.chrome, So it's Flatpak Run com dot Google dot Chrome, and then it'll open the browser. You can also use XDIG to open up websites in default browsers, stuff like that. Not quite as elegantly as it happens with the Windows software. It will work on Mac. It's also USB-C on the back of the device itself, which is nice because then you could use a USB-C port if your desktop or laptop has it. And you can also replace it because one of the original Stream Deck, the cord was built into it and had a really short cable. So if you had a desktop sitting on the floor, you basically probably couldn't use it because you couldn't get the desktop USB connection to reach all the way to your desk. So they did the same thing with the XL model. And now I actually want to try and get more. I've seen the build your own kits like you're talking about, Joe. But most of them are just physical keys. There's no screens on the keys. The screens are uber handy for push like toggles and stuff like that. So, but pretty much, I like it a lot. I think it was a good purchase and something I'm going to use a lot. And like I said, I might save up for another one, and that way I can have it on my personal laptop and on my work laptop as well. One other kind of nice thing, you get plugins for audio things in the Windows version. Trying to remember the name of the software. There's a software, the free version will let you have as many different changes. Basically what it does is it'll change your voice as you're talking, and you know, like things like that. Not very useful for a work setting, but for just playing around or doing a recording, like say if you wanted to post a video but you didn't want your voice to come across in the video, you can do that. You don't really need the Stream Deck to do that, but it's just an added nicety that the Stream Deck will just let you turn that off and on with a button press. So the power, I think the power is there on both Windows and Linux. Linux is just, there's a lot more work you're going to have to do in order to get what you want to want done. So not, you know, there's no plugins that the community can contribute to, at least with how it is right now. So, but so, and it's one of those things where they may market it to streamers, but I think it's useful for just about anything. So, $150.
And it does everything you want it to do. What are you streaming?
I'm not streaming anything. I'm just using it to control, like I said, control software on my laptop.
He's using it so, as a hotkey keyboard.
Basically, yeah. Yep. It's really all it is. I mean, you can, like I said, you can make, heck, you can just take any old keyboard and stick stickers on it and set it up for hotkeys there, but with a lot more work. Excuse me. But I find it really convenient and, like I said, real powerful. So, for what I needed to do.
That's cool. How much did it run you again?
It's $149.99, so it's $150 and some change. Yeah.
$150 for a keyboard.
It doesn't look like it's 3D printed, which is actually kind of a bonus, I think. I mean, it depends. You know, sometimes 3D printing, the 3D printed look looks good. You know, sometimes it just doesn't. I really, really do like 3D printing, but I'm starting to look at it less as a tool that you can use for everything, and more of a tool for certain solutions or for like mocking something up, you know, because I've printed, like, one of the things I printed that I used quite a bit was like a cable keeper that had a 3D printed screw in the bottom of it so it would tighten up on the desk. The problem is the PLA would get weak around the clamp and either snap or it starts to expand.
Then you didn't print it out of PETG?
Yeah, because I didn't have any PETG. So all I have is PLA right now.
I hear Amazon delivers that too.
They do. They do. I should buy some more. I did use up. I had one roll of purple PETG, but I used it all up. But
I got a bunch of like headphone clamps, like desk clamps that have held together for a few years now that are made out of PLA.
Yeah, it just. I think with me, I get rough with it, or I tighten it too hard so it doesn't move. But certain things it works pretty decent for. Like I have a little, I printed off like a little box that I use to keep eyeglass wipes on my desk, because never ceases to amaze me how often my freaking fat fingers find a lens.
I have a lot of 3D printed stuff here.
Yep. I still do too. Some of my favorite ones are the trees I printed last year.
Got some mounts for some Lenovo ThinkPad hubs. I've got the headphone holders. I've got a couple of USB battery banks that I 3D printed. The casings for a bunch of the Gridfinity stuff. A screwdriver holder, pliers holder, tool holder for my Ender. Let's see, there's a phone stand. There's a pumpkin, there's a couple of Grogu's. I got a lot of 3D printed stuff. Oh, the dice holder, I made some can holders. Oh, gosh. Bunch of the Bluetooth devices that I made. The hats that I made for my little mini laptop. I should do some more 3D printing.
Yeah.
You can never 3D print enough.
Apparently Joel did. He ran out of
PETG. I still got quite a bit of PLA. One thing I've noticed though, some of my favorite brands have kind of gone away.
Yeah. Amazon Basics does that.
Yeah, I used to do really like Solitech, but I can't seem to find it anymore at all. Not exactly sure why that is, but it is. Solitech was one I liked. I've been using quite a bit Overture right now. I like that quite a bit. But I need to start planning. One thing I've done for the past several years is I design a ornament for our Christmas tree, and I 3D print it. Usually has the year on it and our name and
LED light to it.
That might be something I might do this year. I might get some of those battery powered button LED things, and just maybe make the center just a little bit of
hollow,
like a little hole in the back, so yeah. I can stick it over that, you know. But I've done stuff like that with I do the vase mode Christmas trees, and I've like cut like the hole out of the bottom, put one of those little tea lights on the bottom. That usually works. Or if you get the tap lights that have like a flat lens on it, I can just set the tree right on top of that if it's one of the more transparent filaments. But I love, that's the kind of stuff I really like to do, is bring that kind of stuff, because a lot of that stuff doesn't really have to be too structural. It just has to look good. So those have lasted for years. The ones I got, one from 19, 20, definitely one 21 and 22. But usually don't like to print too many dust collectors, but that's the ones I like to print the most nowadays, which seems like it anyway. But yeah, I need
I
mean,
I can't have too many headphone holders. I can't.
Yeah, I might have to look at I have a pair of Skullcandy Sesh Evos that I like to use at night. I usually fall asleep with those in my ears. And the main reason I use them at night is because they usually, the battery lasts fairly long on those. Like, they'll still be working in the morning. Not, I mean, they might be almost dead, but they'll still be working.
Right.
The one thing I noticed with those is they don't seem to charge the buds unless I have the lid open. And I don't know why that is. That's the way they've always been. So, and if somebody bumps my side table by my bed, it'll shut and then usually won't be charged enough. I mean, it doesn't take that long to charge the buds themselves, but
I don't leave my LGs playing all night, but I will wear them all night.
Oh yeah,
to help wake me up in the morning.
Yep. That's like tonight. I have that. I'm probably only gonna work the East Coast one because we have the East Coast window and West Coast window for this automation that we're doing. And since it's the first time we're doing it live. You know, we're gonna have people standing by. And I think we got most of it, so I think we'll have a lot less problems with prod than we did non-prod. Non-prod, the East took quite a while, but part of our problem is when you're starting to adopt this kind of Ansible automation and you've had servers that you've taken care of by hand for years, you generally don't know all the things the team has done to that server over that time period. So some of it is a little of that, a little of our evolving standard. Like this particular software, I haven't installed the same way twice. you know, first time I did it was we had a Linux VM that ran Ansible that we would download to our desktop to use. You know, the second one time we just used Ansible, and this time we're using a pipeline. So, and like I said, haven't done it the same way twice. So, but which reminds me, I probably should go ahead and pull down I don't know. Probably end up pulling down. I don't know how the prod's going to work. I guess I'll wait and find out. But I'll probably have to do a git pull before we make any adjustments so that we can merge it back. But most of it's going to be that kind of thing, you know, where if something fails, we either have to go in and see, we have to go in and see why it failed. I think we've accounted for a lot of it in our code, so I think we're going to be okay with that. But It'll be interesting. So technically, I could be up all night, but I'm not going to be. I might be up for a couple hours, which for me is normal. I'm usually up between 1 and 2 anyway. So I said I'd hop on the first part of it.
I'm halfway through my sleep in that by 1 and 2. Mostly. I'm usually in bed by like 10. Most.
Oh.
And sleeping.
Well, some of it's from... I know Joe probably knows the feeling is I dread putting the mask and stuff on at night. I just don't... I don't like it.
I've been doing it so long, it doesn't even bother me.
Yeah. Well, it mostly doesn't bother me, but, you know, some of it is just that, plus the fucked up sleep schedule system admin has. That's more to do with it than the mask nowadays. But yeah, it's just normal. And then some nights I'll take my sleep aid and it don't even help. So usually what I find out is if you have one sleep malady, you probably have more than one.
Yeah.
Well, so
it's also allergy season.
That too. Yeah. Which
means that a lot of nights I'm not going to get any sleep.
Yep. It's like my wife has both her apnea and narcolepsy. Although hers was not ever the one like that where you would just drop asleep. She would just be tired all day. But she is a different person when she takes her new vigil to treat the narcolepsy.
Better person, worse person?
Better, much better. Yeah, she would just be utterly impossible some days without it. But the same thing with Luke. His outbursts were getting worse. So last time they had their appointment with the doctor that does his meds, they upped one of them, and that's certainly helped out a bit. Well, plus, then tomorrow I'm probably going to end up calling the dealership on that AC blower motor, find out where it is. So they said it would take a week, and now it's been almost two. So
that left must be getting late.
Damn,
yeah,
man.
Almost 10.
It takes you what? It takes you like how long to get one car fixed? In the meantime, I've had like three of my cars fixed in and out of the garage.
Yeah, you're not going to a dealer. You don't have one on a warranty. Well, see, and then the ironic thing, Dan, is it's ever since the last time it's been in there, when they finally acknowledged that part needs replaced, it hasn't failed. So it's like it's one of those things where if I don't get it fixed, what'll probably happen is the first time the weather drops to the point where you need to turn a defogger on, it'll fail. It'll be fucking cold and you can't see to drive it to the dealer. But and also one thing I also noticed too about his Trailblazer RS is that was made in Korea. I found that out by looking at the VIN numbers. Starts with a KL. That's Korea. 1G is usually American. But lately I've been thinking about maybe trying to figure out a way to get... It probably won't happen, but I really would like to get like a Dodge Challenger or one of the muscle cars before they stop making them entirely. I've always wanted one. But like they just announced they're going to make the Challenger electric only. And yep, fully acknowledge those will get shitty gas mileage, but there's nothing like driving one of those. I got the Ryan in Amber's at the Southeast Linux Fest. That was a lot of fun. And then daggone weather this past weekend ruined my outdoor cooking plans. It's going to cook some food on the grill and spent a good chunk of the day Saturday cleaning out the grill. I hadn't cleaned it out in a while. And I was got to the end of that and I said, you know what? Well, usually what ends up happening is we got so many little errands to run on Saturdays. I don't usually feel like cooking. So we usually order something. It's usually pizza night, although I think if we do pizza this week, I might just get like a plain pepperoni or something instead of the one with all the meat like I like.
Like a lot of meat?
Yeah, the one I usually get is called, it's from the local place here called by the name of Tammy's, and it's called the Porker.
I usually get the thin crust Hawaiian.
Ooh, that's, ham and pineapple. That sounds good. I like pineapple on my pizza.
The reason I get the thin crust Hawaiian is because it comes out to about 2,100 calories. And if I eat the whole damn thing, which I'm going to sit down and I'm going to eat that whole pizza.
Yeah, probably.
I am. I'm going to eat that whole pizza. There ain't no probably. It's going to happen. It's not going to throw off my diet by that much.
No, yeah. The thin crust.
Wait, where are you getting your pizza from, Joe?
Usually Little Caesars.
Oh.
Ooh.
They have a Hawaiian pizza at Little Caesars?
Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Well, I didn't know
that. They have a lot of...
But well, if you want a thin crust, you got to order it specialty. So I'll just order a thin crust and I'll add my own toppings. And it's ham and pineapple.
Well, you know, the hot and ready is only the pepperoni, so.
Yeah, well, technically their hot and ready menu covers a little bit more than that, but that's usually all the
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
Well, but, then, yeah, no, I call in the order, or, well, just, I internet in the order.
I was going to say, does yours have the cabinet with the locked doors on it?
Yeah, yeah.
That's great. I love that, actually.
No interacting. You just walk up to the thing, you scan it, and grab your stuff, and you walk out. Unless you
That's
got sauces,
right.
too. And then you got to talk to them to get your sauces.
Yeah, there's that.
I'm gonna have to drop, guys. Evidently, I got something I got to go handle.
Yep.
All right, man. Have a good week.
It's almost that time anyway.
Yeah,
I'll talk to you guys next week.
Cool. Yeah.
Man, you know what pissed me off is I was thinking maybe my Bluetooth problems might be solved on that MP3 player by upgrading
right.
the firmware, and the firmware that they offer is they only offer like a Windows executable to install it.
Mm-hmm.
And that sucks. I'm not, because it comes in a RAR file, and so I got, extract the RAR file in there as a setup.exe, three MSI files, and an MSI.cab, and if I extract the cab, it's just a bunch of, I don't know what the hell they are, files. Some of them say they're PNG files, but I don't know what it does.
That's bizarre. I don't use Bluetooth headphones with my Linux machine that much. I actually just got a new pair for my work laptop that's completely Bluetooth with A2DP and all that stuff. And it has really good audio quality. Technically, the one I have on now also does that.
Mm-hmm.
But it doesn't have A2DP. On the Bluetooth side, which means the call quality is awful when I use Bluetooth. When I use the dongle, it's not horrible. So, But the other one I got was I picked up another Avantri. Oh, hell, I can't remember the model number. But the thing I love about it is I can actually mute the microphone on the headset, walk all the way downstairs, still be listening in on the call, take a pee, grab a cup of coffee, and go back to the laptop. And lately I've had to do quite a bit. Like Friday we had a 5-hour Zoom call. So it's like not fun. So it's Avantri, Avantree, AH6B, Bluetooth 5 headset. And the other nice thing about it is if the battery gets low and needs charge, it came with a cable so I can physically attach it to the laptop and continue to use it. I'll put that link in the Mumble. And hell, I'll put it in the RC as well. Only thing I'm not a huge fan of, it has those leathery kind of pads on the ear cups. So they're kind of they kind of make my ear sweat. But and then you can also, the other nice thing you can also do is you can take the microphone boom off of it. So if you just want to use it to like with your phone or something to watch a movie over the headphones, you can do that. So,
yeah.
So not a horrible price. It's usually between $50 and $60, and they also have two different colors, but I usually just get the black one. But I just like the fact I like to, especially if I'm on a long Zoom session, I like to get up and walk around the house when that's happening.
Oh, I hear you.
So, because I don't know about you, but I'm on a Zoom quite a bit.
Yeah, we're on Zoom all day.
Yeah. I mean, we use Slack too, but it's just, I don't know. But well, I need to take a break from looking at a computer screen because I have to go look at one here in another hour or so. So it's been good. See, is this the last one in August? No, next one.
No, this next week. Next week.
Yeah.
Yeah. All right, man. I'll play us out, and you have a good week.
You too.
Here it is. Your promos. Bam.
I am short.
Oh my God!
It's Hacker
Public Radio.
Hacker Public Radio is a daily podcast by the hacker community for the hacker community. If you're interested in technology, creative thinking, hacking, Linux, or any kind of computer, that kind of stuff, you should listen to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.com.
Hello, my name is Matt, and I've started a new podcast called Libre Quest. I talk about Linux and general technical topics. To get the show, visit LibreQuest.com.
So we can paint anything we want?
Anything at all.
How about if I paint your fine ass? Yeah, with my tongue brush. Shut up. Just shut up.
Daddy has a gun!
It's over.
When you were making egg foo young in the kitchen, I was in the dining room having sushi.
Yeah.
Yes, sir. I also put a link to the Stream Deck in there in case you wanted to see, take a look at that. I know you won't be buying one, but I like it.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I won't be buying that. What the hell would I do with that?
Good question. I really do like I have a work machine. I'll have like a I'll copy the, I bookmark slash copy the links that I use in Snow all the time, because we use visual task boards in Snow. So I have one button set so that when I press that button, it immediately will go into the visual task board. I might have to sign in or something, but once I'm signed into the Okta page, then I usually don't have to bother with that. It just opens it up. So then, like, if I'm in a call or if I'm looking at Snow in one window, but I need to look at something else that's related to that, I open it up, I press a button, and it opens up another tab in Snow, and I can search for that. And, you know, so probably going to end up resulting in me opening more browser tabs than ever before, because it just presses it and it opens it up just like that. I mean, it's so quick. But anyway. Oh, and I was wrong. I should have said it on the show, but I was looked up Starlink. I was wrong. It's about $100 a month after we get the hardware, which is about what I pay for Spectrum. And Spectrum went down on me for 2 seconds right in the middle of a phone call today.
Nice.
Yeah.
Oh, you know what happened to me? This is weird. Right? So some guy signed up for Spectrum in New York and flubbed his email address.
So they're sending it to you?
And it was mine. So I, like, you know, I started getting these emails and it said, here's a link to set up your account. And I was like, well, this is a legitimate Spectrum link.
Right.
So I went over there, and it gave me access to his whole account.
Holy crap.
So I was like, I did the right thing. Like, I called up Spectrum. I said, look, this is what's going on. And the guy's like, yeah, you're right. He probably messed up, but, you know, we'll take care of it. And that's, and then, like, a month later, I started getting emails from Spectrum again about my account. And I'm like, good Lord, I don't know what to do.
You know what happened to me finally? On Facebook, somebody cloned my account.
Okay.
They called themselves Mitchell Cole, but it had my face on it. And he was sending messages. That's never happened to me before, so I went in and locked it down just a little bit more.
They didn't have any other information on you there, did they?
No, they probably didn't. They probably certain things used to be on my account used to be open and public.
Okay.
Like my image, you know, like my profile image was usually that. But like things, certain things like my friends list isn't that way, and quite a few other things. I locked it down further. Plus, I went in and got rid of some apps that I don't use anymore. So, but never happened. It's happened to several friends of mine constantly because they usually leave all the default settings on Facebook, but just happened to me just this last week. But oh well. I don't put anything on Facebook that's top secret anyway, so. But, and I use, mostly I'm in the local Facebook group for our city, mostly for entertainment, because people are stupid. Like, a big thing in our area, I think I talked about this before, is you can drive the golf cart on the street. The cart has to legally be able to go 35 miles an hour. It has to get a license. You know, you have to have the registration and license on it and all that stuff. But you can drive it publicly on the street. Someone posted in that group says, how can we discourage people driving their golf carts on the street? I'm like, they're street legal, man. I, I know some people that when the weather's nice, they won't drive their car. If they're going someplace within Grove City, they'll just drive their golf cart. I'm like, all right. I mean, I can go from my house to the other side of the town. I think I probably could go down Boar Road. It's hard for me to tell that one road what the speed limit is, mostly because I usually ignore it. Because I drive such a short piece on it, you know, so I just, I'll gas it and go. You know, and there's nobody walking on the street, so it's like, it's not unsafe, you know, but one of these days I'll probably get a ticket for that, but.
Hammy time. Hello?
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 I hear you, man.
What do we got here? Yeah. All right. What can you say, huh?
Not a whole lot.
What? What is echoing back? Is that you again, Joel?
Well, it would be now because I'm not muted.
How come you're always echoing back?
It can't echo from me. It's echoing from somebody else who has their mic.
Yeah, but you're the only one with the mic.
Close to the earbuds.
But when you're muted, I don't... Wait.
I hear it come back from you, though.
Testing. When you mute yourself, I don't hear it.
Now yeah, because I'm on... you have something that is up all the time.
Wait. When you're muted, I don't hear myself coming back. But you unmute yourself, and I hear myself, coming back. There we go.
Yeah, see, that's right. Because you... Well, that's because you're not muted right now.
But when Joe isn't muted, I don't hear myself coming back.
Well, I was muted,
but I was muted
at my end.
Yeah, but when
you're talking now, I'm not double hearing it. But when Joel is unmuted, I'm double hearing it.
So the problem is on my end. It's
Joel.
Joel's.
I it. Could just adjust. I can hear the game myself when Joel's talking. Hair. Yeah, let's see if I can.
It's all your fault, Joel.
Dang!
It's always you know what? It's always my fault. I'm freaking used to that now.
You work in support. It's always your fault.
Yeah.
Okay. If you're not muted, I can barely hear myself. Go ahead and talk, Dan.
Hello.
Yep. There's still an echo there.
Yeah, it's because I'm still unmuted here. Let me adjust to see if I have echo canceling on. That might be it. If I don't have it on. Let's see. Alright. Where's the echo canceling? Oh, there we go. How about now? No, that's still happening. Weird. Let's try multi-channel. No. That is so strange. see. Audio processing. Let's just turn my mic down a hair a little. No, that doesn't seem to make a difference. That is weird. I cannot find a setting in there that's doing a damn bit of difference. Let me run back through the wizard.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Oh.
All right. Ran through the wizard.
Okay.
And that seems to be better.
No, I can still hear myself echoing back. It sounds like it's your pulse audio controls.
Yeah, it could be. Yeah, it's funny because I don't have the controls. Let me go into the... Is there an extended wizard? Or extended settings for the audio? Let's see. There we go.
What was that?
That's just me in my mouth. I wonder if I just go to a headset, like a wired headset, and make a difference. One that doesn't have the microphone built in. I have to use a laptop's microphone, or the shitty microphone that this has. Let me see if I can change that.
You had what in your mouth, Joel? Wow, that's horrible.
God, what is that?
Joel switched to a headset that sucks.
Yeah. Okay. All right.
How does that sound?
You sound fine.
Sounds like hot garbage. No,
it's still echoing back. I don't know why it's doing that.
Am I echoing back now? I don't hear myself echoing back now.
Okay. I hear myself echoing back.
Yeah, you sound like you're in an echo chamber.
Who does?
Joel.
So, you talk and you hear yourself echoing back to me?
No.
Okay.
I hear you twice.
That's because it's coming from Dan's mic.
I don't hear me twice on his mic.
Good question. I don't know why that is.
Sounds like you're in a very, very hollow space.
Yeah. It's because this mic's shitty compared to the one that was on the iron one.
So that. You use the headphones for the audio and then use the mic for a mic.
Let's see.
You know, like podcasters do.
Do.
Am I recording this awesomeness? Yes.
Yes.
All right, let's see here. Damn. Let's try this. You ready for this, Joel? Okay. Hello?
Is there anybody out there?
Is there anybody out? Oh, wow, this is great. Okay. Now I got something to talk about. Yeah. Okay.
Sounds good to me, man.
All right. Joel, you ready?
I'm always ready.
Is Joel ready?
Joel dropped. He's en route now. He lost his connection or something.
Ready for action.
Well. There, he's back again. He'll be back. What's up, Pat? How you doing, man?
I'm good, man. How you doing?
Doing all right. Doing all right.
Getting good grades? Future so bright?
All right, how you doing, Joel? You okay now?
You're talking. We can't hear you.
Because he didn't unmute himself yet. You know, I have to say, before I got on, I was having audio issues too. I had to replug in my microphone. Crazy talk time.
Not using my HyperX. I'm using my headset, but it's a 2.4 gigahertz headset, so it works pretty good.
And no Master Yoda's there. Well, he was there earlier. Well, no Master Yoda, not wait around. Oh, I bet he's trying to. Okay. I gotta fix that. I gotta figure out why that's a problem. Joel?
Joel?
They got him.
He ran away.
Jolie, 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 Gorkon!
I, I was able.
You were what?
I was able to pick up this Cycle Ops bike trainer, essentially, where you can set your bike on it and clamp it in and use it as a stationary bike.
Yeah, okay.
So I haven't had a chance to like test it out fully yet, but I have high hopes because it's supposed to be extra rainy in Texas for the next like week or two. We're done with the way too hot, and now we get the way too wet.
So, what is it exactly that you bought? You got?
It's a Cycle Ops trainer. I was able to get it used, so I only paid like $20 for it.
Okay, how much did they? So they, oh my goodness, they go for like $200 roughly.
Yeah. My bike already had the skewer, so I didn't need to worry about that. But
what's a skewer? What do you mean by the skewer?
It's what goes through. It's basically an axle.
Okay.
It goes through the inner portion of the wheel, and it's also where the gear cartridge sits, and it attaches to the frame. You know, keeps your bike in place. Or keeps your wheel in place on the bike.
All right, no, that makes sense.
You need a specialty skewer in order for the Cycle Ops to clamp onto it, and this bike that I had gotten evidently already had one, so it's good.
Does it have an external self-cooling mechanism?
I have a fan. That counts, right?
I'm just looking at one of them. The Saris Fluid 2. Wait, that's not the one. Wait, you said
Cycle Ops.
Yeah, okay, so that's not Cycle Ops. Saris Cycle Ops Fluid 2 has an external cooler on it. That is supposed to, I guess, keep the mechanism from overheating or something. I don't know.
Well, I guess a little fan that's on it.
Yeah,
it blows air across it. So.
Yeah, that's what it looks like. It's like a little fan thing attached.
So, as you pedal, air gets moved. I guess that could be, you know, self-cooling. I think I hear a Joel. Nope, I don't. He left again. Like, I don't want to talk to you guys. You guys suck.
Well, that looks pretty cool. You know, I wonder if that's going to be weird.
It probably will be, and it's going to make noise. Don't know how much. I'm going to pull out 35-pound weight to set under the front wheel, since I did not get the riser.
Oh, they didn't have the riser anymore, or?
Yeah, riser was not included.
I wonder if you could just buy the riser.
You can. They're not expensive. They're like $8 or $9.
Just 3D print one.
Just 3D print one. I could do that too, but that's a rather large 3D print.
How much is the riser itself?
$8. Order one. Looks like I need to balance my rear wheel.
That looks pretty neat. For those days when you can't go out.
Right?
Are you going to use it in the garage?
Or when you want to, yeah, I'm in the garage, so I'm out here giving it a test. Or when you want to, you know, pedal, but you don't want to leave the house because kids are still up. You want to be on a podcast.
Right. That you're waiting for thing. Joel.
You're waiting for Joel to figure out how his audio works.
Jolie, come back. You can blame it all on us. Well, he'll blame it all on me anyway.
Right? Right? It's all your fault. You're the one that's echoing. I guess it's not too loud. Can you hear it?
The bike?
Yeah.
No.
Okay.
Hold on.
There's a buzz, but I'm not sure if it's coming over the mic or not.
Well, you gotta shut up. Are you pedaling?
I'm pedaling.
I don't hear
a
thing.
Let me step it out a little bit. Crank the gears up and... Can you hear it now?
Oh, you know what? You have it on voice operation or push to talk?
Yeah. Oh, I have it on voice. That way my hands are free.
Well, if you're pedaling when you're talking, I don't hear it. Like sometimes
I'm pedaling while I'm talking.
I don't really I can hear it like occasional clicking and a clacking or whatever.
Oh, it's me shifting.
Yeah, I don't hear the pedaling though. I heard it once, but I don't hear the bike at all.
Okay, that's good.
I hear you breathing, starting to breathe a little bit there.
Yeah, that happens.
Oh. Ay, ay, ay.
Yeah, I'll move the mic to a slightly different position so I'm not huffing and puffing right on it.
Woo, look at this email. Sexy hot porn projects. Daily updates. For administrator. Enjoy our scandal amateur galleries that look incredibly dirty. Sent to you from Joel.
Find that not surprising at all.
Thanks, Joel.
He's still in the audio test room.
Maybe I should pop in there and tell him to hurry it all up.
Should.
I don't know. When you popped in there, I didn't hear you.
I didn't talk because I heard the waterfall and I figured you were working on fixing it.
Oh.